Lost temples, decaying fortresses, ancient tombs. The stuff archaeologists dream about. On a National Geographic radio expedition in the highlands of Peru a couple of months ago, I followed a field researcher who really can find ruins of civilizations that first flourished and then perished long, long ago. Childhood movies still vivid. I expected to search for lost ruins in wilderness on foot. Instead, we're driving on dirt roads across the Lake Titicaca Basin where Peru meets Bolivia in Chip's beat-up four-wheeler.
So the very first stage in any research design is to do what we're doing right now.
Academically speaking, Chip is Dr. Charles Stanish.
Just walk around, find sites, get a feel for the landscape, get a feel for what it would have looked like in the past.
Probably he was Dr. Stanish 3 days ago boarding that plane in Los Angeles, where he's the director of the Kotzen Institute of Archaeology at UCLA. But now, one-handing the truck through rutted corners, spinning, grinning, he's a happily regressed Chip. Guy in his mid-40s, going on 22.
I noticed your technique in driving. You're paying about half attention to this road. The rest of the time, you're scanning the hills all around here. What are you looking for?
Oh, yeah. I terrorize my passengers, sorry. I'm just looking for anything that strikes me as a good place to find a site. If I get any organic soils on the hillsides, any walls. I'm also looking for agricultural terraces. I'm looking for fortification walls.
He's been exploring ancient Andean sites, often Inca, for 15 years. The Inca ruled this vast region for a couple of centuries before the Spaniards got here in the 1500s. There were Inca roads and temples and fortresses. This is archaeology Disneyland, except Disneyland has gates and this place just keeps on going.
If you don't understand what's out there, is if you spend a lot of time at one site and you excavate it and you dig it and you learn a lot, you say, gee, this is a really important site, and then you can walk over to the next hill and there's another one just as big.
On a hillside above the lake, time seems elastic. An old woman in skirts and a bowler hat is turning a field with what Chip calls a foot plow, a tool that predates modern steel. She isn't wearing shoes. Sheep and llamas graze near stone corrals.
Okay, here we go. We're climbing down some terraces here on a point of land that we've come out to.
Let me show you a place, Chip had said.
There are also shards and fragments of pottery and... Here's a little piece right here.
This one is absolutely outstanding.
That one you just found, yeah. This is a piece of pottery probably as big as a 50-cent piece, but it's irregularly shaped and it's got markings on it.
Yeah, the markings are decorations into the wet clay before it was baked.
In the weeds and the sheep dung, bits of ancient pottery are scattered in a litter of modern analogs. Rusting cans, old plastic bottles. And the archaeologist studies the ground the way lottery players wait for numbers. I'd seen him do the same thing with a mud wall where we stopped to change a tire, picking shards from it by date. The one he's got now, he fingers like pocket change, the faint marks at the edge of the old clay fragment.
They started doing this around 1300 BC, and they stopped doing this kind around 800 BC. So we know... This is a very, very old.
This is not an Inca site.
This is way before the Incas.
That's where Chip Stanish wants to go next, back to a time before the Inca. He's trying to explore one of the fundamental questions in archaeology. Why did people stop wandering and settle and go from living in clans to forming classes? Why did we get civilized? There are answers up here. In the many places that remain unexplored.
I have never been on any of those hills over there. Never. And no archaeologist ever has.
He gives up searching for shards now and looks across the bay below us to the lake's next peninsula.
One day, I went on the other side, same hills, just for kicks, took a weekend off from the systematic work, and just walked. I found about 25 phenomenal sites like this and bigger. Just in 2 days. So
that's the kind of frontier archaeology we're talking about here. It's a whole nother world. Whole nother world.
The Andes are about the last place on Earth that humans settled. Maybe only 18,000 years ago, and in many ways, we're still adjusting. The regional capital, Pune, a weekly flag ceremony. Dark-faced Indian men in turquoise tunics goose-step past military officers lined up in front of the town's heavy stone cathedral. The infamous revolutionary group Sendero Luminoso terrorized this area for decades. One reason it's still little known is that people were afraid to come. Peculiar geography, a Peruvian archaeologist had called it, and it is peculiar. There are almost no trees. The Spaniards cut them. They haven't come back. There are streams and pastures, but the texture of the earth is dry and stony. And the altitude, 12,000 feet or so. A lot of newcomers develop altitude sickness. It comes on a glowy buzz like an afternoon martini, or maybe two. And a few hours later, it feels like a whole pitcher.
This is just a slight uphill walk. And we've only come maybe 300 feet or so, but it's just hard to do anything here.
We had driven a couple of hours north to a place called Pucara.
This area, as we look out over it here, this is a temple. This is a mound that they built.
Right. We're right on this artificial platform here. And as you look behind us, you can see these really large cut stone blocks. And those are from the temples themselves, the sunken courts.
There are terraces as big as a city block. The whole site spreads over at least a half square mile. Even I can see the Pucara builders must have been great engineers.
We can see some mounds over there that are about maybe 50 to 100 yards on a side, and they've never been excavated. We don't know what's there.
And we're not going to find out today. Chip had wanted to show me this place, the main Pucara site, very dramatic. But this is where he's just beginning. He steers the truck east.
What I'm trying to do in this reconnaissance here is I want to figure out where I want to do my next project. So I want to try and get as good a sense as I can of the full range of sites. I want 8,000-year-old sites. I want historical sites. I want little tiny colonial churches. I want them all. I want to get a feel for what's out there.
This is the theory he shares with other archaeologists. The match that lights civilization's fire is trade. The Pucara people wanted jaguar pelts from Amazon tribes, Chip says. They came this way. Everyone did.
Oh, there's an old hacienda right there.
That big ranch-looking thing over there?
Right. And haciendas tend to be located in very rich areas, so why don't we just take a little walk over there? Maybe that could be an Inca site.
Oh, good. Pretty soon we are going to get out and start walking. Searching for a Pucara temple tomorrow when this radio expedition continues.